The Survival Guide to Life, a podcast about how to win in life every second, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, consistently. Hey guys, we got another episode of Survival Guide to Life, and today we have a very special guest, and his name is Dennis R. Sumlin. Now, he is a confidence and mindset specialist, the founder of Core Confidence Life and Men's Personal Development. He hosts his podcast called Core Foundation. And Dennis helps motivated millennial men break the cycle of anxiety and inner limitations so they can achieve their relationships, pleasure, and prosperity they desire. He's been coaching and mentoring for 23 years and believe everybody is born with natural talents and an innate self-confidence. Dennis knows firsthand the struggle to defeat the lack of confidence, a low sense of purpose and manhood, and a stagnating, impulsive lifestyle. With no role model to look up to, Dennis navigated his life with trial and error and many rises and fails. He learned self-discipline and how to accept himself. His secrets to prosperity and healthy spirituality, and he is public speaking and communication, confidence, principles, and spirituality relationships. How are you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I appreciate you coming on the show and having you here today.
I'm glad to be here.
So just right off the bat, Dennis, now, what kind of sparked you to take this path?
Well, I tell you, you know, I've struggled with low self-esteem and confidence for a lot of my younger life, and I needed to get better at that. I wanted to feel better about myself and really get my confidence up, because I didn't really have a male role model growing up. Nobody really told me how to do those kinds of things. You know how society tells you, you be confident and like yourself and things like that, but they never teach you how. So I went out there and I tried to learn how to do that. How do you build up your confidence? How do you stop comparing yourself to others? How do you start valuing yourself as an individual? I wanted to know that. So I went on the journey to try to find that for myself. And in the course of me finding that for myself, I found that, you know, other people face the same challenges that I did. And so I want to help them crack that mystery themselves, the mystery of the self, and how we can build up who we are and design our own future. And I discovered that I can teach this to other people as well. Also, I look at the world and I see things that are missing, things that distress me and that I want to contribute to solving. So one would be, you know, a lot of people don't have anybody to really turn to, no friends to confide in, no one to really turn to when they're facing really personal challenges. And that troubles me. And I want to be able to contribute to healing that gap that people have with each other. So I go out there and I try to be a comfort zone, a safe zone for people where they can really be themselves, work out their personal challenges and become better from that. And so that's, in the summary, how I started, just because I know that what I have gone through, others have gone through, and I have the same experience. Also, I want to help heal people. I want to give people that space to turn to, where they're not going to be judged, where we're going to talk about issues, confront their challenges, and help them become the best self they can be.
You know, right down to the bottom, you know, like all of it is the same exact reason why I started this podcast, Dennis. So it's a small world, but you know, then again, I always have this saying, you know, your vibe attracts your tribe, and you know, like birds of the same feather like flock together. So it's nice that I get to talk to someone who's done this for a longer extended amount of time. And the reason why this podcast is called Survival Guide to Life is because it's in hope that if anyone who's going through struggles or anything that like I've been through in the past, and I can shed some light on it, that it would benefit them. You know, like there's probably been times where you've been like, man, I just wish I had a way or like something to tell me how to go through this or how to think right now. And with the over 20 years you've done this, what have you noticed has worked for you, as in for yourself and helping others around you? And then what did you know that hasn't worked?
Well, that's a good question. One of the things I found that works for me is understanding the different levels of our existence. So I took up spiritual studies, Eastern spiritual studies, things that are close to Buddhism, Taoism, and things like that. And once I gained a real understanding about humans, energy, vibration, and how those things interconnect and work with each other, that gave me a big insight, a big boost on how people interact, how people carry themselves, how you can increase your vibration, strengthen your energy. So once I got a hold of that information and started studying Eastern spirit practices, I think that was one of the biggest keys that I obtained to really push myself forward. And that's definitely one key. A second one I'll add is really aligning, speaking of energy, really aligning with who I am in the core. Instead of covering up my true self to kind of be bland, not to upset anybody, I started really getting into the masculine energy part of my personality. And the further I got into my essence, the masculine core of who I am, the more I got into that, aligned myself with that, it just seemed that all the other concerns melted away, like comparing myself to others, worrying about what people think, being too shy to give my opinion, not upholding boundaries that I have. All those things kind of melted away once I really understood that the dynamics of my own masculine energy and how to move forward with that. So those are two things that I found that's worked for me over the years. Did I miss a question? What was the next question?
What did you notice didn't work?
What did I notice didn't work? One thing that really doesn't work for me, and just in my life doesn't really work for a lot of people, but I keep it on me, is using what I call negative reinforcement, negative motivation. And so basically what negative motivation is that you guilt or shame yourself into action. So if you're not doing something, if you're not doing the work you're supposed to do or whatever it is, instead of looking for positive ways to encourage yourself, a lot of people, and I'm included in this, use negative encouragement, meaning what's wrong with you? They're doing it, why can't you do it? Don't be such a loser. Putting yourself down in order to get yourself moving. Shaming and guilting yourself in order to get yourself productive. Now, some of that can work for a very short period of time because who wants to feel like a loser? But negative motivation, continuing the cycle of guilt and shame we already have present in the society, using that against yourself in order to get yourself to produce, to me has come out to be a bad strategy. So negative energy, negative reinforcement doesn't really bring long-lasting positive outcomes.
Okay, no, that makes sense. But my question is, you know, like I've had the same issue as in growing up, you know, not being told what to do or how to act, and these certain things that you would say that everyday people would get. So for the few that are like that and don't know really where to go or can't turn to anyone, you know, like what do you tell them in trying to get them out of this fixed mindset and, you know, always blaming themselves, into start slowly getting into a growth mindset? because I've had friends myself and I've like tried to get them out of it, but like once they're in that train of thought, it's so hard to get them out of it. And they're always like, oh, it's easy for you to say that, but you know, you don't really know what I'm going through.
Yeah, I know. It's a cycle that is truly, truly gets stuck inside of you. But I will say this first, in order for someone to change and have their mind opened or find different solutions to their challenges, they have to want it. And so a lot of people put up resistance to change because they become identified with who they are at the moment. They become used to the negative ways that they think, the negative patterns they repeat, because they're getting something out of it. One thing to remember about everybody is that anything we do, we're getting something out of it. Even if we are repeating a negative pattern, we are getting something out of it, whatever that might be. And so people have to want to change before they can change. Now, once people have decided that they're looking for better answers than the ones they're using now, I would encourage people to do first two things. One, start your own personal journal so you can write down things that are on your mind, things that are stressing you out, things that you're concerned about, things, even good things that you think, deep passions you have. Get to know yourself through writing, you know, journaling, things like that. Kind of get a little bit more introspective. Two, I would say start reading. Read different, there's a whole lot of books out there on self-esteem, on human psychology, on confidence. Whatever your challenges are, there's books out there that can address that. And so those are the two things that I would encourage people to start with. But the first thing to start with, I would say, is the desire to change, the desire to have better answers than you currently have, the desire to make a better life for yourself than where you currently find yourself. So the desire has to come first. If you're hearing people going, you don't know where I'm coming from, you don't understand me, and you see them stuck in the same pattern for months and months and months and years, for some reason they're not ready yet. So you first have to be ready, and then you start out with those two steps I just spoke about.
Okay. So then how do you sort of say, like, start the fire for the desire?
Well, for me, what I would say to somebody is I would find out what's going on with them right now. Like, what are the challenges that you're happening? When someone says, oh, you don't know what I'm going through. All right. What are you going through? What are your challenges? What are the things that trouble you? Right. And then after that, I would tell them, you know, there are other things that could be going on in your life right now. There are other opportunities you could be taking advantage of right now. You don't have to put up with, for example, the abusive partner you have right now. You don't have to put up with, let's say, all your friends using you for what you have, but not being there for you. You don't have to put up with a lazy family member mooching off of you while living in your house. Those things you don't have to put up with. And so I would try to get them to see that there's a better option than the things that they are choosing now. They have an ability to make their life a life that makes them happier than where they are right now. And so I would get them to see what's on the other side of all these major, of all these choices. What's on the other side of where you are now?
Okay. So with your experience and the amount of people you have worked with, you know, what would you say was like the most prevalent thing? Like, was it a issue with confidence? Was it a lack of, you know, self-esteem? Was it like, you know, relationships with women? Like, what in the millennials, I'm just trying to understand and like trying to get a better insight on what's going on, or like, what did you have you noticed like a change and shift as like from the, you know, the baby boomer to the millennials and things like that?
Well, a lot of people's challenges really, because see, we have our surface challenges, right? We've got, maybe we've had parents that were not kind to us, maybe a little abusive. Maybe we've had a lot of trouble with women. Maybe we've had trouble, you know, pursuing our goals. A lot of those things come right down to self-image. A lot of those things come, we have problems in relationships because sometimes we don't always maintain our boundaries and maintain our real preferences when it comes to dating. A lot of times, you know, we date because we're on the rebound. We date because she looks sexy and we're thinking about sex. We're dating because we're feeling lonely. But people don't take out the time to really examine what they really want out of a relationship. So I would say the two biggest things, when you strip down all the challenges that people seem to struggle with, a lot of it has to do with lack of knowledge of self, because we're taught not to think about ourselves so much, you know? So lack of knowledge of self, because sometimes we're not clear on what we really want out of life, and a lack of confidence in ourselves. Can we really do it? Are we really worthy of happiness? Are we really worthy of success? And so those are the two things I see most things coming down to. I don't know myself very well, therefore I don't know what I'm capable of, et cetera. Or I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I'm good enough. And so therefore I'm not gonna do it, or I'm gonna sabotage myself, or I'm gonna play it small, not to upset anybody. You know, so those are the two things I see.
So, you know, with this inner self-doubt that it pops up in all of our minds, you know, I feel like it's something that started at a young age, and there might have been some starting cause, but the fact of not being able to get over it or come to peace with it, it just buried in us, and it keeps attacking us, and we can't truly have a fulfilling life until we come to ease at that. So what is some ways that you've were able to recognize and visualize that this is a problem in prevalent, say, in yourself or in anyone else, to make them realize that and try to dig deep within themselves?
All right, so the question is,
what do you tell someone to do when this self-doubt comes, and how do you tell them to, like, how do you strategize or figure out what's the cause of it?
Well, there's tons of different tools, methods, and approaches. And so as far as what I tell people to do,
I just like your methodology and what's been effective and working for you.
Okay, so for me, like I said in the beginning, for me, one of the things that benefits me is to know things. So when I'm feeling, talking about low self-esteem, lack of confidence in myself. So for me to know things, how things operate, so I know how to use them to my advantage. So like I said earlier, understanding energy and vibes, and vibrations, and how everyone plays off of everyone's vibrations and things like that. For me to know the mechanics of how things work around me, for me to have that knowledge, gives me the ability to exercise my free will. Because sometimes we walk around thinking that life happens to us, that we can't control anything, that something is happening to us and we just have to sit there and take it like a victim. And you really don't. Now, there are things that we don't have control over, but there's an enormous amount of things in life we do have control over. And so for me, once I understood A, how the spiritual world works, B, how the material world works. So for example, the culture that we live in gives us messages, disempowering messages, contradictory messages. And so for me, once I understood how the culture works and misleads people with contradictory info, that also helped me personally move past a lot of the challenges I had once I understood that a lot of the things in culture are arbitrary. A lot of the stigma and shame that we experience in society are arbitrary things that people in power made up to control us. I mean, I can go pretty far deep into the rabbit hole on that one. But the point is, to get back to your question, what helps me is knowing how the world works. Because then if I know how things work, then I'm able to exercise my free will and create a situation where I could flourish.
So, you know, just when you were talking about the vibrations of the universe, how would you just describe that, and how do vibration affect one's energy and one's state of Zen?
Well, the simple way I would describe energy and vibration, and I would just say, you know, look around us. Everything is emitting energy. Everything has an energy field around it. And a lot of this stuff you can look at, and you'll see that in science and physics and so forth, and just in everyday things. The sun releases energy, the TV releases energy, ice releases energy, and you can feel those things and you can see those things. And so I don't really go deep into these things with clients unless they're actually hiring me for some spiritual work specifically. Okay. So I don't necessarily go all the way deep into that with everybody, but as far as how I would explain energy in general, energy is all around us. I would give people examples of intuition, how we know things by actually seeing it for ourselves. There's a lot of things that I can show people to illustrate what energy is. And once they have that understanding that they have the power to control the energy they put out to other people, and they have the power to decide whether they receive other people's energy or not, that helps.
Okay. So, you know, with that, I always tell people, you know, there's like different laws of the universe, and, you know, like there's like the law of thought, you know, like our mind can only focus on one thing at a time, whether that be a negative or a positive.
Absolutely.
And we have the ability to change a negative thought into a positive thought. And then the ability is that we control everything in our mind. And the ability to understand that or realize that is it's surprising how many people didn't even know. And when you tell them this, how surprised they truly are. And then when you actually see the development and the benefits it's caused them, it's just undeniable. And I'm sure that's why you've stayed in this line of work. And my question is, how do you stay focused in your work and not let the outside world, as in having these things not be taught, you know, like just upset you and get you irritated?
So your question to me is, how do I not be upset that most of society doesn't teach this?
Yeah, because you know what I mean? Like sometimes you get like we have so many things going on, and like it's hard not to get upset because or just get angry certain times when like these things happen, but it's not really good, because you should never let anybody change your state of Zen, I feel.
No. Well, first of all, no, you should never let anyone change your state of Zen. As far as maintaining your Zen, your inner peace, the first tool I would turn to for people like that would be meditation. There's different forms of meditation. But you talked about being able to control your thoughts and manage them and so forth. And so meditation is a method to do that. Journal writing is a method to do that. Affirmations are methods to do that. And there's ways of doing affirmations that are effective, not just the stuff you see online. And as far as being upset that this kind of material is not taught in mainstream society, well, it's not going to be. Because the goals of the people in control of mainstream society is to get the masses to do what they want them to do, to control their actions and to control their control their thoughts. That's why I'm in this line of work, because I want to be a space where you can get this information, where you can turn to someone and speak to someone that can give you alternatives to what the mainstream has to teach you. Because the mainstream society and culture, most of the things they tell us are wrong or misguided or used for manipulation. And so, yes, I am upset that the mainstream is so obsessed with shame, guilt, sex negativity, manipulation, domination of religion, all these other kinds of things. They do upset me, but at the same time, that's why I'm doing this. So I can be one of those people out there saying, hey, you don't have to do it this way. You don't have to live your life in guilt, in shame, in constant self-doubt, in constant unawareness of what's going on around you. You don't have to live your life in victimhood, thinking that you can't control the pieces of your life. So while I would be sad that this stuff is not, this is not mainstream, I'm happy that I have the ability and the personality to be one of those people where you can find it.
That was a really amazing and wonderful answer. You know, a lot of people, even on the show, they are afraid to say certain things like that. But to say that and, you know, to adhere and to your morals, your values, that's very commendable. And to shift the talk into something else, because I want this to help as much people as possible, you know, how to do with men right now and relationships, how do you approach that, and what type of mentality do you try to have them achieve?
Men and relationships. Well,
as in, you know, dating relationships.
Yeah, dating relationships. Well, first, I find the first things that always hit me anytime I look at a relationship and see what goes on in the relationship, I always think, did he know what he was looking for before he started dating this person? And so one of the things I work on, I work with people who are dating or wanting to date when it comes to relationships. So a lot of the things I look at are, what do you want out of a relationship? When you're going on a date, when you're looking for a partner, what are your goals? I find a lot of people get into relationships, but they really don't know what the end goal is. And they really don't know the kind of person they want. And that's even more pressing. What kind of person do you want? And not just someone, oh, well, yeah, I want someone who's sexy. I want someone who's good in bed. I want someone that's, you know, that's all nice. But what about something deeper? So I work on knowing exactly what you want first. Who do you want to find? What do you want this person to be like? And then we go into how to find this person. Also, I work with men on things about where are your insecurities around relationships? Do you have any, you know, if you're having any sexual insecurities, let's talk about that. Let's work that out. Are you having any other insecurities around jealousy or possessiveness? Because it's not only good to work on the specifics on who you'd like to be with, but it's good to know who you are too, so you can be the best representation of yourself to get the person that you want to be with. And so once those two things are clear, what do you want in somebody else and what do you have to offer? Once those two things are clear, it's easier to move forward in the dating process, because you have a more discriminating eye. You're less willing to deal with games and things like, and disrespect. It's easier for you to spot toxic behavior out of somebody else. And then when you finally do find someone, you have a higher chance in being happy with the person that you end up with. And then, you know, there's things that come up. We can work on individual challenges as they come up, if that's my client. But those are the two things I start them off with. What do you want in specifics? And who are you? What are you offering in specifics?
So I don't think very many people at all think about that before they date anyone. So
because they don't. Because sometimes I'm sure people have been in some of these situations. You date somebody and the first couple of months, maybe 6, 7, 8 months, everything is wonderful, you're having sex every day, and it's passionate, and you love each other. And then after about a year and a half, after they've settled into who they really are, because it takes the time for that excitement to wear off, after they've settled into who they are, and you've settled into who you really are, after a year, how did I get with this person? How did I end up in this situation? What's going on here? And you ended up in a situation after 2 years because of the things that went on in the beginning. And also, it's important not to get carried away in the beginning, because when you meet somebody, it's going to be passionate and hot and exciting. You may have really been lonely. You may really think that the other person is beautiful. You may think you have a lot in common. And so the first 6, 7, 8 months are passionate and sexy and warm and fun. But if you're looking for a relationship for the long haul, it's not all beach and romance and sex and fun. It's a relationship. So you need a companion, not just a romantic partner, but a companion. And so that's what I try to get people to see. Are you looking for a long-term relationship? And if you are, look for a companion, not just a romantic partner.
Yeah, I think that many people are so, because of like what society had, they're so focused or stuck on, you know, the outward and like appearance, that they sort of negate the personality or the way their partner treats them. And then that in itself, like, just goes down a road that people shouldn't go down. Now, when someone is, you know, in a toxic relationship and they're always getting, you know, abused, not physically, but, you know, verbally, or, you know, always getting put down, but they're with the relationship, I feel like, because they're afraid of being alone, or they like the idea of a person, but they don't realize that they can have someone else. How do you sort of approach that realm? And like, how do you sort of shed light and be like, you know, if this is not gonna work and this is not it, don't worry now, but there will be the right way.
I mean, it's the same process. I mean, if you hired me and you're already in a toxic relationship, it would still be almost the same process. What do you really want? I would still ask them. Those questions won't change. You find yourself in this toxic relationship. You know it's toxic. You know you're looking for some solution, or else you wouldn't be reaching out to anybody. So what is it that you want? You're reaching out for an answer. So what is your answer? What is it that you really want? I would still get them to get clear on what they want. Because if they're with someone that they don't want and they're looking for a way out, well, before we work on a way out, what do you really want from this relationship? Because a lot of relationships have massive communication problems. And so it might be a matter of a communication problem. Maybe there's some things that could be worked out. Maybe you haven't spoken your mind to your partner. Maybe your partner is doing something that they don't know upsets you. Maybe it really isn't toxic. Maybe it's just communication breakdown and there's a way to work it out. I would review that, definitely. How's the communication? What is going on in the relationship? Are you having any insecurities in the relationship, in the bedroom, in anywhere that is impairing the relationship? You know, what's your role in that? Because relationships disputes often have two parts. Both people play a role. Even if one is the abuser, the other one sometimes may not be communicating that they're being abused and not speaking their mind. So there's always two parts to a dysfunctional relationship. And so I would find out what those components are, what's going on in that relationship. Is it repairable? Is it fixable? Can you communicate better with each other? And if all that fails, and if they really need to get out, then we start looking at, well, what do you want? What kind of relationship do you really want? We would go through that process like I spoke about earlier. And as far as leaving, well, that depends on the situation they're in.
Okay. So say someone who you know, they're dating someone, they break up with someone and then date someone else, then again another person, but then they sort of realize, like, man, what's going on? I feel like I'm attracting like the same like person in like different people, like the same type of person. Now, what I would say is that you need to first see what type of energy you're putting out there and sort of correct yourself. And once you truly do that and you're at your highest self or your best self, then only you can attract that. So you're only going to give in, get out what you give in. So is that the right way to go think about it?
Yeah, to me it is, because if you're attracting the same kind of people, then there's probably things you're doing to do it. Maybe it's not on purpose. A lot of these things are subconscious. But what kind of patterns are you showing that attracts the same kind of people? Sometimes we say we want one thing, but we live in a way that attracts the other thing. That happened to me too. When it comes to relationships, I would say, oh, I want a relationship. I want to be with somebody. I would really like to meet somebody. But if you'd pay attention to how I lived my life and how I carried myself like I don't want to be bothered with anyone. Like being around somebody is a little bit of a burden, a little bit of an aggravation. I like being by myself. But if you listen to my rhetoric, I want to be in a relationship. But my actions and the way I carried myself in real life and my rhetoric did not match. So I ended up being alone, because energy doesn't matter what you say, it matters what you do. People aren't attracted to you by what you say. They are on the surface, but really deep down, they're attracted to how you live. So if I'm living like I don't want to be around anybody, I enjoy my company, people are aggravating, but I say I want to be with someone, that's not going to work. Also, what do you say about yourself? If you don't believe you deserve a relationship, then you might have a hard time finding it. That happened to me too. I want a relationship, right? I want to be with someone. But I'm also thinking, well, who's going to date me? I have this and this and this and this and this. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much to date. So then I'm sabotaging myself. I say I want a relationship, but then I'm thinking, well, maybe I don't deserve one. Well, who's going to date me anyway? So you have to unlock those subconscious pattern of thinking. You've got to unlock the way you carry yourself in the world every day and make sure all of those things match up with each other. There's a quote, they say Mahatma Gandhi said this, but now, you know, I've been seeing that people attribute quotes to people who never actually said those quotes, but we'll use this one anyway. So he said, happiness is what you think and what you do and what you say are in alignment. So if you're thinking it and saying it and doing it, that will work out better. But if you're saying it, but not thinking it or doing it, there's going to be a big disconnect.
So how do you like develop that ability to think and have that correlate to what you say? Because, you know, like we may be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm a really good person. I'm a really positive person. You know, I have really good tendencies, but then like there's that little inner voice that, you know, tries to combat us, and then we might try to like push it down, but it's still there. And that might be the thing that's hindering our development.
Well, you know, if there's a thought that you're having and you're trying to push it down, that's actually the wrong approach.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. In my opinion.
Okay.
Let's change words. Okay. That's a lesser productive method than the one I'm going to mention.
Okay.
So don't push that thought away. Challenge it. So if you're thinking to yourself, I have a low self-esteem or I'm not good at something, don't push it away, challenge it. Is that really true? question it. Always question those negative thoughts. Let's say, oh, well, like, I'll give you an example. You know, when I was younger, for somehow, I mean, I guess the culture tells you this. Somehow I got it into my mind that women don't like skinny dudes. I don't know how I got that into my mind. It's the culture. It's that culture. It's that perfect body culture that's promoted. And so I got it into my mind that women do not like skinny guys. Now, that was a repeated theme in my mind, and that prevented me from being more assertive, being more initiatory and everything, because I believe, well, I might strike out because I'm not tall and muscular. So then why is it worth it? I'm just going to get rejected, right? So pushing that thought away from me is what somebody might think I would do. Oh, let's just stop thinking that. And that might work for some people, but how about challenging it? Is that thought really true? Is it true that women don't like skinny guys? No, it's not true. Look around me. Where's the evidence for that thought? So I would rather disprove a negative thought than just trying to ignore it. Because when you ignore something, it's still going to be there. When you try to, if someone's knocking on your door and you don't answer, they can still stand there and knock. You ignoring your door is not alone going to force them to go away. So these negative thoughts you're having, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too ugly, I'm too fat, I got a little wee wee. All these things aren't going to go anywhere unless you address them. So I had to address that misconception of mine that was causing me to not even try and discover, well, that's not even true. I'm not even thinking the truth about that topic. So whatever your negative things are, confront it, challenge it. And you know what? If something you're thinking about yourself is actually true, because sometimes it could be, see if you can do something about that. Number one, is this something you want to improve? All right. Now, if you don't want to improve it, you're fine with how it is. Then you accept what comes with it. If you want to improve it, depending on what it is, of course, we can go ahead and look into that. But don't push it aside. Challenge it. Play with it. Move it around. Test its validity.
Okay. That's a different methodology, and I see why you said it's a more productive way than the other way. So just tell me a little bit more about your coaching and your style of teaching, your style of mentoring, and I didn't get a chance to ask you, where are you based from?
I am in New York City.
Oh, okay. Like Harlem, Bronx?
I'm in Harlem.
Okay. So yeah, I used to live in New Jersey for about 4 or 5 years. And then I would work in New York. So I'm familiar with the area. I'm in Chicago.
Okay.
So yeah, just a little more about your school of thought, and then I want to understand that a little bit more.
Well, can you be more specific? Like when you say
you told me how you got into mentoring and life coaching and stuff, and then just like, is it, how do your clients approach you? How do they find you? Just things like that, or like do you have it as in sessions, or like how has it changed due to this COVID-19?
Just a general structure. Okay.
Yeah.
So usually clients find me through all kinds of ways, the Core Confidence Life website, or emailing me, dennis@coreconfidencelife.com, or various advertisements, word of mouth. I've gotten clients through word of mouth as well, things like that. As far as the general structure, it is weekly sessions. I try to tailor the sessions and the style to what the client is working on. So, I mean, if someone really wants to twice a week, whatever, we can do that. But standard is once a week. The method doesn't really change with the pandemic, because I've done phone methods even before this, or video conferences. I've done in person as well. because not everybody is in New York. I coach men from all places, not just New York. So video conferencing, phone, things like that. That kind of stuff you're talking about, yes, that's weekly. Any communication method, phone, in person, whatever is convenient and most productive for our sessions. And as far as what goes on in the sessions, I first talk to a client and get to know where they are now and where they want to go. So, you know, are you dating? Are you not? Are you, you know, what are some of the challenges you're confronting right now within your self-esteem, within your body image, within, you know, your goal setting, boundaries, all these different things. So I have a conversation with the clients and to find out where they are and where they want to get to. What's very important. I want to, you know, where do you want to go? Where do you see yourself in your life? Where do you want to be a year from now, 2 years from now? If I can get an idea on the ultimate end goal of the client, then I have a much clearer idea on how to help them to get there. So it's a simple structure.
No, it's good that you said that, but I've noticed that, like, most people, you know, when you ask them where they themselves have no idea where they want to go, you know, like when you ask them that question, they just stop and like give you the most baffled and most flustered look. And I feel like it's really important that, like, you know, like, that's why I liked your approach on, you know, a journal and daily journaling is having, you know, long-term and short-term goals and being able to visualize and exactly down to, say, the wallpaper on your walls to, like, you know, the car you want to have, to everything. You should have that, like, visualized and, you know, where do you want, so that you can achieve it. You know, like, if we believe it, we can achieve it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, for the most part. Now, I know what you mean. If someone's calling, but they don't know where they want to go. Yeah. Well, you know, because I think people generally know from my experience, when I ask somebody, where do you want to go? Where do you want to get to? They all have an answer. Now, the answer may be general, like, oh, I just want to be happy, or I just want a beautiful girl, or I just want to make a lot of money, or I just want to feel better about myself. Most people have a general answer. I've hardly ever gotten I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you take that general answer and you dig down. Oh, I just want to be happy with a nice girlfriend. Okay, what is that? What does happy mean to you? What does a nice girlfriend mean to you? What does that represent? And so you take someone's general answer and you just dig down with more, well, what does that mean? I want to be happy. Okay, what does that mean? I want a big house. Big house where? You know, so you take their answer and you just drill down.
Okay. So as we come towards the end of this show, you know, I always ask all the guest speakers, you know, if there has been something you have read or something you've came across by or listened to, a quote that really resonated in, you know, in your heart and in your mind, to end with that. And before that, to say all your social handles, as in your website, how someone can connect with you on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or anything like that. And then how they can reach out to you, and then with the quote.
All right, well, how you can reach out to me? Just, you can email me directly, dennis@coreconfidencelife.com. That's dennis@coreconfidencelife.com. Reach out, let's talk. You can also visit the Core Confidence Life website. You can find the podcast pretty much anywhere where they have podcasts. I interview other people who work in the same area of men's personal development and spirituality. There's different aspects of spirituality, men's personal development and culture, things like that. I am on most social media. You can find me on YouTube, Core Confidence Life, Twitter, Core Confidence Life, Facebook, same thing. So all those things. And if you really just, you can also go to coreconfidencelife.com/any of those names, and it'll take you right there. And so I certainly look forward to speaking and working with people who want to start designing their own future instead of letting society smack them around a little bit. As far as the quote, that I like. You know, I always see a bunch of great quotes, and there's so many that resonate with me. But you know, the quote I said earlier is the one that's still in my mind, and I can't tell you how great that is when you you know, happiness is when you think and what you say and what you do is in alignment. And that is so true. That's a very profound thing. And a lot of people are living out of alignment, and they don't have to be.
That's a very insightful and a deep quote that someone could just sit and really go into. So I want to thank you again, Dennis, and hopefully I can have you on the show again in another episode, and we can stay in touch, and you can help me with the beginning of my mentoring and trying to work in the same path as you.
Hey, I'd be happy to work with you and talk with you as well. So that's good stuff. I'm glad to be here. You have a good show here. You're doing great work, and I'm sure people benefit from the different guests you have here and the fact that you're a voice in this world where we need more voices for people to have resources to kind of conquer this crazy world.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for, you know, giving people like me, you know, like more confidence to stay in this line and not to get disheartened or, you know, turn away, because it's what we need.
Don't turn away. Don't give up. We gotta, you know, the shame stigma campaign is ongoing. This culture is always trying to shame and guilt us about everything while telling us to feel good about ourselves. It's a big phony contradiction. And so we need voices like you to continue the opposition to that.
Thanks, Dennis. Everyone, Core Confidence Life. All right.